So today is Pentecost Sunday, and these are the announcements, the schedule, the obligation to fulfill your Easter duty, that is, to receive Holy Communion during the Easter time, ends on Trinity Sunday, June 7th, a week from today. Please see the bulletin and the announcements tab on our website for details about limited mass attendance and confessions. Some big feast days this week. For instance, today is not celebrated, but it is the day, the 31st of May, of the queenship of our Blessed Mother. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Angela Merici. Thursday, feast of St. Francis Caracciolo. Friday, feast of St. Boniface, apostle to the Germans. And Saturday is the feast of St. Norbert. We also have another bit of announcements. This is the revised mass attendance announcement. The Sunday schedule for today, May 31st, is at the 7, 8:15, 9:30, 10:45 is D, A, B, and C groups. But for next Sunday, it is C, D, A, and B. We will post the upcoming Sunday Mass schedules each week. Please check the sign-up app on the homepage for this. Also, the sign-up app on the homepage can be used to volunteer for chapel cleaning on Mondays after the 8:30 a.m. Mass. Thank you for cleaning our Lord's home. Our chapel is a critical service, as found in Colorado Orders D2020044 and 20-28, and is open following their guidelines. Sunday Mass, in order to maintain the state regulations for social distancing in assemblies, those attending Sunday Mass must observe our reserved seating in the chapel. Contact us to know which group designation is yours. The 10:45 a.m. Mass will have a sermon also. Daily Mass. Daily Mass does not require reserved seating and group designations as on Sundays, nor does it require advanced reservations using an app as in the past. Close the announcements for today. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a violent wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as of fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now there were staying at Jerusalem devout Jews, men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude gathered and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in his own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these that are speaking Galileans? And how have we heard each of his own language in which he was born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we have heard them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of God. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 14, verses 23 to 31. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. The word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while yet dwelling with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would indeed rejoice that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak with you, for the prince of the world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We feel privileged to be able to offer this Mass today and wear these magnificent vestments. And we are very sorry that we could not have a high Mass or a solemn Mass on this great occasion. On this day, we wish more than ever that we had great eloquence, because this day is so deserving of it. This feast is equal in value and rank to Easter. Because it is just as important. About 1,500 years before the Incarnation, we see the beginning of all of these mysteries coming into view. So it was at that time that Moses lived and that the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. That was the beginning of the Passover, because that was their Passover. This was the beginning of our Passover, meaning the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So these people passed through the Red Sea, which was a very large body of water, but at the spot where they passed through the Red Sea, it was more narrow. The Red Sea was, in many places, as much as 5,000 feet deep. But where they passed through, there was, in a way, a bridge, and so it wasn't so deep, we believe. Maybe something like 1,000 feet deep. Imagine that. 1,000 feet of water, at least, on each side of them. and it was dry. It says they passed through dry on dry land. Great miracle. And this was only for the purpose of prefiguring the resurrection of Christ, because that was the end of all, our redemption. And then, 50 days later, after they had passed through the Red Sea, so now they are in the desert. And on this day, 50 days later, so it was 7 weeks, sacred number again, 7 weeks, pointing to the 7 sacraments and the 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost. And so Moses goes up Mount Sinai, and he's given the 10 Commandments. He comes back down and gives the 10 Commandments to the people. And this was just like this. And it was called for 1,500 years, approximately, Pentecost, meaning 50 days. And now you can see where all of this was so clearly pointing to the resurrection, which took place, we can say, at the time of the Passover, at midnight after the Passover. And then 50 days, 7 weeks later, we have Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost comes. And it was for the purpose, as you know, of giving us the ultimate law, not the 10 Commandments, but the commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, thy whole soul, thy whole mind, thy whole strength. And this commandment he writes in our hearts, doesn't he? So everything was for this, the law of love. And so he came with all of this great power and majesty, with the strong wind and the flames of love coming down from above. To show us that this was planned forever, from all eternity. This is a mystery that is unfathomable, that we have been in God's plan, in God's mind, for eternity, and was all so that he might love us, and that we might love him in return. This day, we're given the law of love. God grant that we may fulfill this law. This is why he came, not only to redeem us, to die on the cross, and to rise again from the dead, to redeem us, not only for this, and to ascend into heaven so that we would follow him. But this all happened for, we can say, this day. Remember, everything is for the glory of God. And we can truly say, because we are part of Christ's body, that this eternal plan included us just as much as it did his son, because we are part of his son. We are members of his body. And so this day was necessary so that we could love God forever in the Son, in heaven. So we have been celebrating these feasts. Of course, it was greatly elevated by the redemption and the coming of the Holy Ghost, but we've been celebrating this feast for over 3,500 years, this day, on this day, or yesterday. And this quote that we will give you right now from the prophet Ezekiel tells us what his plan was, the plan of the Blessed Trinity for eternity. I will pour upon you clean water, and you shall be cleansed from all your filthiness, and I will cleanse you from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take away your stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in the midst of you. We hope that you have a heart of flesh and that you have put away your idols. So you can see that how important this day was. We see it at the beginning of creation because it says the Spirit hovered over the waters, looking forward to our baptisms. And of course, he was intimately involved in all that took place in preparation for the redemption. And especially, we see his great perfection, perfect work in the preparation of our mother, the mother of the Son of God. It was the Holy Ghost who made her so perfect. Of course, we understand that outside of the Trinity, all three persons are always together. And so we attribute certain works to certain of the three persons because God himself does. Even though all three persons always work together outside of the Trinity. So yes, God the Son became a man because he said it himself, that he was God the Son, that he became a man. But God the Father and God the Holy Ghost were with him always. And yes, the Trinity made our Blessed Mother and sanctified her. We attribute it to the Holy Ghost, the person of love, because everything comes from love. Saints tell us, if anything is not done for love of God, it's a sin. That is a definition of sin. So the Holy Ghost made her, we can say, loosely speaking, infinitely perfect in preparation for the incarnation. Imagine how holy she was to be able to carry the Son of God worthily. And this was all because of the Holy Ghost. From the instant of her creation, he perfected her like this. That's how perfect she was the moment she was made, because of the Holy Ghost. And then, of course, the Holy Ghost gave the Son of God, from the moment of his creation, everything that he needed to redeem us. That all came from the Holy Ghost, because our Lord and Savior was possessed of all of this quasi-infinite perfection, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, ultimately, but also all of the virtues in a quasi-infinite manner, the fruits of the Holy Ghost. He was possessed of the Beatitudes at every moment. We can say every thought was a beatitude. This was all because of the Holy Ghost. The redemption, if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was not possessed of all the virtues that we are possessed of the Holy Ghost, he could not have redeemed us. So you can see how closely the Holy Ghost was involved in our redemption. And then, of course, here we are with all the virtues and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Even though we are members of the mystical body of Christ, so we are part of Christ's body, nevertheless, everything we possess through the seven sacraments came from the Holy Ghost. All of our virtues come from him. We owe him, we can say, everything. Where would we be without any virtue, without his grace, sanctifying grace? Every time we say a prayer, it is through the grace, the gift. He's called the gift of gifts. Every time we do anything meritorious, it's through the Holy Ghost that we are able to perform that act. Think a thought. It's through the Holy Ghost. Always pray, every day, pray often to the Holy Ghost. This is essential, brethren. We pray to the Holy Ghost several times a day, in addition to all of our other prayers. We pray specifically to the Holy Ghost. Because he is the person of love. And it is love that saves us, is it not? Love saves all men. And so we need the person of love always. Never offend him. Never offend the Holy Ghost. These are the words of Christ himself. Therefore I say to you that every kind of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Is that not frightening? And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this world or in the world to come. Frightening words. Even the Father and the Son work through the Holy Ghost. Remember, that is the Trinity. The Father and the Son love each other through the Holy Ghost. This is the very Trinity itself, its essence. Everything happens through the Holy Ghost. Even the Son of God prepared, he was the precursor of the Holy Ghost. He prepared the way for the Holy Spirit to come to us. And he told us many times while he was here on earth that this is what he was looking forward to going to heaven so that he would be able to send the Holy Ghost to us. This is astounding that God the Son, our God who is God and man, God the Son, the man, sent the Holy Ghost to us. He says, if I do not go, the Holy Ghost will not come. He had to be in heaven to send the Holy Ghost to us, that the Father was waiting for him, so that they would send him together and that the Son of Man would send him. These are impenetrable mysteries. This all took place, as you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning. This was when the reign of the Holy Ghost began, and he will reign forever. In this world, until the end of time, he will reign. And we think of today his spouse. You know, we haven't thought about this before, but maybe you have. When the Holy Ghost came down into the upper room, which must have been about this size of this room that we are in, because there were 120 disciples there. And that is about how many people come to Mass here on Sunday. We are like a miniature or a duplicate of the upper room. 120 disciples, including the apostles and the Virgin Mary, our mother. And so when the Holy Ghost came down, it says he entered into all of them. So all of these men and women, this would include Saint Mary Magdalene, entered into all of these people. Just as he enters into us. Hopefully today. And we often think of what a privilege it was, because the Virgin Mary was there, and he came to her again. This holiest of all creatures after the Son of God in his humanity. What gifts must he have given to her on this day? She who was holier than all of the rest of angels and men put together. She was like God. She was like part of the Blessed Trinity. She was the spouse of the Holy Ghost. Here she is with the Holy Ghost, embracing him. She was the mother of the Son of God, and she was the daughter of the Father. And there she was with all of these disciples and apostles. What a privilege that must have been to be able to go to her and to speak with her, to pray with her. To pray to her, ask her to pray for them. We remind you that these flames came down in the form of tongues. The purpose of these flames of love entering into these, especially the apostles, but maybe, we don't know this for certain, maybe the other disciples also were given the same gift. We don't know. It is certainly possible that they were given the gift of tongues as well as the apostles, at least in a temporary manner. This was a big event after all, and it was arranged by the Blessed Trinity that this special event, which was the center of all of creation, we can say, centered on this moment, because all of these people in Jerusalem were there from all over the world. It is possible that there were as many as 1 million people there. Speaking, it says in the account, from all over the world. Of course, we know that the evangelist meant all of the known world. We presume there was no one there from China. From everywhere, and these people were all speaking to them in their own language. This, of course, pointed to God's desire for the salvation of all men. And that's this fulfillment of this, in some manner, we have today, because practically every corner of the globe has received the gospel. Certainly not every person has received it who is alive today. But this gift of the tongues shows us that God desires the salvation of all men. This was the purpose of the gift, to show that the gospel was meant to be preached. Preached. This points to the superiority of the Catholic Church tradition, because the gospel is to be preached, not read in the Bible, which is certainly the Word of God, but we cannot depend upon it for our salvation. We spoke to some friends of ours recently, Protestants, and they believe that the only thing necessary for their salvation, they said it, the only thing necessary is that they believe in Christ, nothing else. It is not necessary for them to believe in the Eucharist, even though that's very clear in the Gospel. We are going longer today because this is such a big feast. It is not necessary for them to believe in baptism or anything else. Nothing. Except that they believe in Christ. That's it. So, it is necessary to preach the gospel. That is what we see here. The gift of tongues. And so, St. Peter speaks to these people. The first sermon of the Pope, Christ's representative on earth. And he converts 3,000 people with that one sermon. The next day, 5,000 more. And he says to these people, this is how he, the last words out of his mouth, when he's speaking to all of these people from around the world. We can say he was speaking to all people of all time. That's what it represented. And he says to them, "Save yourselves from this perverse generation." So this is what we recommend to you, that you save yourselves from this perverse generation because of this day you have been given God's grace. It is said that this grace from the Holy Ghost is a ray of divine beauty which he pours into our soul. And it makes us so pleasing to the Blessed Trinity because of the presence of this grace that God will bring us to heaven, and he loves us even now. This is what God's grace does for us. So that he cannot resist us. And so he comes to us and he dwells in us. And you remember where St. Augustine says heaven is. He says, where is heaven? Since God is everywhere, where is this place we call heaven? He says, heaven is here. This is where God dwells in us. This is heaven. In us and in the angels. That's where heaven is. This is how pleasing we are to God and how much it is essential that we love him who is within us and that we pray to him always. Any moment that you are not praying, it is very sad. Because we have this gift of prayer. We do not appreciate the gift of prayer, but this is why God dwells in us, so that we might speak with him. And the Holy Ghost moves us. So much do we depend on him that we can do nothing without him. This is why we have his virtues and gifts, because notice that they are the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They are his gifts. We operate through him. When you experience these beatitudes, blessed are those who weep. By the way, this is not weeping for sadness. This beatitude is happy. when you weep for joy. That's the Beatitude. When you weep with the Holy Ghost, because He has made you weep. These are the gifts of the Holy Ghost, because He functions in us. He operates through us. And this is prayer. We can pray at every moment. There is no limit to our prayer, to our love. The saints tell us that the only limit on our love of God, because we can, as did our Blessed Mother, you know that she increased her love of God at every moment. Every second, she was increasing in love, so that we can say her glory is quasi-infinite. And we can do what she did in some fashion. We can do this. We can increase our love of God at every moment. Continual acts of love, so that we are closer to Him all of our lives, and at the end of our lives, we have reached our limit. And that is the glory that we will have. That's the only limit. How sad it is that we do not pray as we should. If we were given, imagine if you were given the gift of being able to fly. Would you not use that? Whenever you had the opportunity, and this is so infinitely beyond a gift such as this, to pray. We must end with this story of Blessed Giles, who was a companion of St. Francis. He said one day to St. Bonaventure, who was a friend of his and a fellow religious, "Oh, how," he was a doctor of the church, St. Bonaventure. And Blessed Giles said this, "Oh, how happy you learned men are, for you understand many things whereby you praise God. But what can we idiots do?" And St. Bonaventure replied, "The grace to be able to love God is sufficient." "Nay, but Father," replied Brother Giles, "can an ignorant man love God as well as a learned?" As well as a learned man? "Yes," said St. Bonaventure. "And further, a poor, simple woman may love God as much as a doctor of divinity." Brother Giles cried out in fervor, "O poor simple woman, love thy Savior, and thou shalt be as great as Brother Bonaventure." And upon this, Brother Giles remained for the space of 3 hours in a rapture. I hope that this is what you will do on this great feast of Pentecost. May God bless you.